love Marvel.
Comic Conversations.
It's awesome.
With your host,
the wickedly talented
Fat Man.
But you know what the worst part of all is? I never learned to read.
Luro.
My father touched my butthole. This made me thirst for knowledge.
And Marvel 2K.
Jesus!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. You're listening to episode 116 of Comic Conversations, where we talk all things comics for the week of October 21st, 2015. And as always, I am joined by my co-hosts, Marvel 2K and Luro. Luro, how you doing this morning? Actually, you know what? For me, it's afternoon. I have to imagine for you guys, it's evening.
It's 7 o'clock and 7:30 at night. Okay.
It's 5 o'clock for me.
It's not morning. My father never once touched my butthole.
Just for the record.
Yeah, I just want to get that out there. Rest in peace, Dad.
But whenever you have some kind of bias towards anything, I always tell you as a meme. So,
you do get upset.
did so-and-so touch your butthole? Because sometimes you have irrational hatred. I'm like, that's got to be the only thing. That's got to be the thing.
Well, I know. I've had a lot of things touch my butthole. Fat Man's drop was because he was crying about something.
Yeah, this week, Luro and I guess, sort of indirectly picked our drops.
Yeah.
I was ripping on Luro, and that he sent me that drop.
I was making fun of you for something. I said, did you even read that? Did you understand it? And then I gave you that link.
The Wayne's World thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I gave Marvel his drop, because I thought it was hilarious. Marvel, how you doing this evening?
I must be crazy. I must be nuts.
That's not you responding. That's you in a drop.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go into our first segment. As always, news. If you go to facebook.com/comicconversations, you notice that we decided to expand what we post on there. So it's not just news now. Sometimes we'll have, in fact, commentary. In fact, what are the numbers currently right now, Marvel, on that little commentary that Luro added to the Newsarama post?
He's got a couple, but I mean, it's reached like, let me see how many people it's reached.
We're talking in the thousands, right?
Yes.
Like 1400.
Yeah, our Facebook page actually has things on it more than just, you know, when we originally started it, we just link stuff like from Newsarama or CBR and be like, hey, this sounds interesting. Now I'm actually commentating on uh-huh. stuff, and Marvel shares it, and then it gets a wider reach. So yeah, there is stuff to read on our Facebook occasionally.
It reached 1,458 people.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yay.
The thing you posted, Fetman, 2 hours ago, two yeah. people reached.
How many, two?
Well, you haven't shared it yet.
Oh, well, it is what it is. We all have our strengths, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Marvel sharing it is honestly
But like I said, from now on, you can check out our Facebook for more than just the news that we're going to talk about. But you know what? The fact of the matter is we still have news that we're going to talk about in here. And the first of which being there's apparently a new Punisher series post-Secret Wars that has been announced.
It is Becky Cloonan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Dillon, which... I don't know, a lot of people don't like Dylan. I like him because of Preacher. And he did do the most famous modern Punisher run. She said this is a R-rated comic, and it's going to be more in line with Punisher Max. For those who don't know, Punisher Max is probably the single greatest run on Punisher ever.
Ah.
So setting the bar high, but I think what she means is she's not saying I'm going to write a story as good as Garth Ennis's. I think she's just going to say, it's going to be a bit darker. It's going to be violent, and as Punisher should be. Mm-hmm. So I'm very, very excited about this because the rumors were Frank wasn't going to be around after Secret Wars. And I said, that's bullshit. Of course he'll be back. And he is. So that's good. I'm very hyped for this. I hope it's good. I will probably say it's good even if it's not.
Because it's your boy Punisher, right?
Yeah, it's my boy.
All right, let's move on to our next news story. Apparently, there's going to be a Hyperion and Nighthawk series in addition to what they already announced, the Squadron Supreme book. So we're looking at three Squadron Supreme titles.
The most notable thing about this is I'm assuming Robinson has turned in at least the scripts, probably the finished first issue.
Mm-hmm.
For Marvel to then wait a bit and announce two spinoffs, I think that means this book is good.
I sure hope so, because his Fantastic Four certainly wasn't very good. But then again, when we read that one Starman, that was actually Yeah, to say maybe
Star,
he's turned
Starman was the best thing he's ever done. It's one of the best runs in modern comics. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, he's been coasting on that. He also wrote one of the worst comic stories ever, which was Cry for Justice. So, and you know, his Fantastic Four, people didn't think it was horrible. It's just a lot of people didn't particularly like it. So it's not that he's a bad writer. It's just that he gets a little off point sometimes. So I hope that the two spinoffs mean they're going to do something with this.
It'd be sad. It'd be sad if these two books were better than what DC was pumping out with Batman and Superman.
They're portraying the Squadron Supreme as the authority in Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
They're sort of, you know, they're heroes, but they're sort of putting them against the Avengers. Whereas in the Authority comics, there was the Authority. There wasn't like another superhero team who would fight them.
Exactly.
There wasn't another team of good guys who weren't as hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
So you could never have that sort of clash. But with this, you're going to. And I think we're probably going to get a crossover, like a big crossover at some point that deals with it. That would be my guess since they're giving them three books.
Yeah, because it's funny too because I read this and they're still dealing with the same Hyperion. And I guess from what I've read, it's going to be, you know, he's still sort of, you know, half in, half out with the Avengers. So it's curious to see how maybe there's going to be a divide later on,
well,
assuming the way they're going to be written like the Authority.
It's a good premise because the team is, you know, it's made up of all the different people who came from worlds that were destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So given that, since they've actually seen their worlds destroyed, they would be more hardcore in protecting the world they now live on,
mm-hmm.
which would lead to them doing some bad things. And I mean, that's good in that Marvel is launching a bunch of Avengers books, but they don't really have a superhero team that is more like hardcore.
True.
And it should be a nice mix if it's written well. I'll read a Hyperion solo book. Prior read Nighthawk solo book.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine.
We tend to give number ones chances, so.
Yeah, and sometimes we're generous. If it's not good out the gate, we'll give it a few more issues if it seems like there's some legs to it, so.
Yeah, and I'm a Hyperion mark. They're gonna have a Batman and Superman book. I like Batman and Superman.
As do I. Especially from last week when we talked about that Superman, Lois, and Clark book, so.
Yeah.
Alright.
So we'll see what Marvel can do with them. Hyperion better than Sentry.
Yeah, that's almost, that's, the bar's awfully low on that, so.
Well, still. I always wanted to like Sentry.
Okay, let's move on to our next news story. There's going to be a Vader crossover. This is the first Star Wars crossover that Marvel has done. And it's going to be, we have, for writer attached, we have Jason Aaron, and for art, we have Mike Diodato. Now, if those two names together sound familiar, it's because they worked together on Original Sin.
Art was very good on Original Sin.
Yeah, but with that said, the story was really, like, it wasn't bad, but it was just lackluster.
Star Wars, so, I mean, that's whatever. This is Star Wars, so.
Their Star Wars books have been good.
Yeah. And I like the premise. It sounds interesting to me. It takes place right after Episode 4 with Vader's TIE fighter crashing on a planet. And I guess the premise of the book is that the Rebels looking to...
They try to assassinate him, right?
Yeah, they want to take advantage of his weakened state, and they want to kill him. And I guess the premise is they're going to throw everything at him.
So is Vader the hero? He's the baby face in peril. Facing overwhelming odds.
This is true.
That's bad booking, Marvel. What are you, TNA? Is this Lethal Lockdown? Isn't that what their war games
advantage,
is called?
Advantage, yeah, Advantage Babyface.
Where it's always Advantage Babyface. That's not right, but it could be good.
Yeah.
Aaron is good more often than not.
Yeah, like yeah, you said. That's a fair representation. Original Sin wasn't all too hot, but most of his singles titles and other stuff that he's read with other teams has been pretty good, so.
Mm-hmm.
He deserves the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And Star Wars has been good, so.
Yeah, it's gonna sell because it's Star Wars.
Yes. Okay. So, next news story I know nothing about. You're gonna have to pretty much do the heavy lifting on this because you and Marvel were talking about this. But apparently there's a sequel to Jupiter's Legacy. A book that has yet to finish.
Mark Miller has announced a sequel to Jupiter's Legacy, which has not come out in 3 months and only comes out about every 3 months. Now, I don't know if this is a real sequel. Like, I was always under the impression he's a big fan of this season thing with comics. Like, you know, like you do a season of a TV show, you do a season of a comic.
Terrible.
So they could have just called it Jupiter's Legacy Season 2 to be following Jupiter's Legacy Season 1 whenever it ends.
Plural, by the way. You know when the last issue of Jupiter's Legacy came out?
Oh, they should be rich.
No.
January.
Jesus, was it that long ago?
9 months.
Wow. Okay, well, maybe that was the end of the first season and the sequel will be the next issue. I just thought it was funny that it hasn't come out for 9 months and he's announcing a sequel. That's...
You know what? That kind of sounds right because I'm looking at the release dates for these issues. It was April 24th, June 26th, August 28th, January 1st, and January... Actually, there was a year between releases. Issue 4 was January 1st, 2014, and then issue 5 was January 14th, 2015.
Jesus. Okay, well, he's doing a sequel, and if it's with Quietly... Quietly has often been slow, and by the way, he is the artist for this. He's often been slow. He's never been this slow, ever. He's never gone a year. Like when Morrison had to have a fill-in artist when he did that, and when Miller did Authority with him, he had to have a fill-in, but it was like 4 issues. And that came out monthly. So I don't know if he's working on something else. I know he's doing something with Grant Morrison soon. I don't remember what it is, but... I don't know. Maybe he just had other work and he had to fit it in.
Okay. Like I said, the art, while pretty good, isn't worth this wait. So I can't imagine what's taking so long.
He has, you know, it's a book he drew when he drew it. Mm-hmm. And you can't say that about all comic artists.
Yeah, but it's not like this is Sandman where, you know, we understand why there's this big holdup because the art is just, you know.
And Sandman didn't have this long of a wait either.
No,
well, maybe Miller's busy running around Hollywood trying to sell comics he put 2 issues out of for movies. And I'm sure it'll come back and they'll all be snarky pricks and I'll hate it, but you know, whatever.
Okay, let's move on to our next news story. A second Iron Man book is apparently going to be released. It's being called Iron Man International.
It's the dream team of Bendis and Maliv.
Yeah, from Daredevil theme.
Who did a very good Daredevil run. I'm not sure Iron Man can support 2 titles. The only thing I can hope with this is that it's a very, very different book. And
with the art, it should be.
Huh?
Well, the way that Maliv's art is, it'll probably be, you know, less jokey, you know, more...
Well, yeah, it has to be, because he can't... Yeah, his art doesn't lend itself to... Oh, this is a funny book. It just does it.
Mm-hmm.
That Daredevil story was very dark, but very long too. But still, you know, he can keep a monthly schedule. He's a good artist. It will, like Marvel said, it'll necessitate a bit of a darker story. So unless he could work under a different style, but I don't see why Bendis would say, I need a second Iron Man book. It's going to be exactly the same.
Well, from the title and what I read the news article, it's going to be international. So like, I think part of the thing they said is Galactus often goes to New York, but I think what they teased was maybe Galactus was going to go somewhere else in the world, or that Iron Man was going to have to deal with other things that are like superhero-ish related, and I guess they sort of explained why all the supervillains tend to flock to New York.
Yeah, but if it's just Iron Man being
and then
a superhero
they said they wanted to elaborate,
parts of the world.
And they wanted to elaborate what they established with Tony's history as far as he's being adopted and stuff like that. And
we that's fine.
Yeah, and it's from what I can tell what they're writing so far with the current title. It doesn't seem like they're going to touch any of that stuff with the current Invincible Iron Man series. So
it sounds like it'll be like a more human story than a big superhero.
And I think it can support it because even though I don't much care for Bendis, I know Bendis is a name that produces, you know, big numbers. So
his solo books are often really good. That's the thing. Like his team books are shit. But his solo books are good. He's much better with a small cast.
But I'm saying, putting all that stuff aside, his numbers typically are very good. His Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, tends to do very good.
Oh, yeah, he's a big name. He made Avengers a big deal in comics.
So I think he can support a second Iron Man title.
Well, sales-wise, yeah, but yeah. It's the quality of it that I'm worried about. But, you know, like I said, it's a fantastic creative team, so... They've done good work in the past.
Yeah, it almost makes you wonder why they didn't have this be the mainline Iron Man title and what they're doing right now with Invincible.
Because of the art.
Oh, okay.
It's not a mainline looking book.
Okay, that's going to wrap up this week's news. But before we go into this week's books, I guess, Lura, you wanted to get on your soapbox and talk about comic book reviews, specifically people that White Knight certain writers write?
Okay, so doing research for the show, I was listening to some other comic podcasts. We started doing this podcast. I pretty much stopped listening to comic podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to copy thing. Listening to comic podcasts, while there are some very, very intelligent people, Paul O'Brien from The Board does the comic podcast I like quite a bit.
Ooh, nice.
He has been somewhat guilty of this problem. I'm not going to call out the one I listen to, but I noticed a lot of white knighting of female writers and artists in these things, even when it's a book we've read and it was bad. And then you go online and you look up reviews and they are bad reviews. But these comic guys would always say, oh, blah, blah, blah is writing this. Oh, I'm really excited about this. This will be really good because nothing they've done in the past was good, but, you know, they have a vagina. So I know white knighting is really popular on the internet now because there's a lot of guys who don't get laid and they think it's somehow women will have sex with them because they put over women. I'm not sure what.
Lura, you might want to get close to your receiver. You're cutting out just a little.
Yeah, sorry. Or they're overcompensating for the fact that women have not really been respected in comics forever. Totally respect that. But one comic guy, I actually heard him. He went on this big long rant about Frank Cho. And, oh, I'm so sick of the cheesecake. And, oh, it's so disrespectful to women. And then not 5 minutes later, he put over Amanda Connor, who has drawn Harley Quinn on covers like a complete fucking whore since the launch of that book. And I listened to this and I'm thinking, like, is he going to reveal that this is a joke in a minute? And he never did. He flat out held a female writer to a different standard, as if a female writer sexualizing a character is okay if it's a female, but a male artist doing it is not okay. And that bugged me. So I just want to say, comic reviewers, stop it. Review a book on its own merits. Don't review a book based on the sex of who's writing or drawing it. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, I guess I'm not too as far as a large degree as that, but sometimes, like, there'll be specific titles where that A-Force book, like, I don't like it, but I feel bad about not reading it, because it's while it's not terrible, it's whatever.
It was completely average.
Yeah, it's literally, like, middle-of-the-road, milquetoast average. Not great, but at the same time, not offensively bad.
Yeah, and the same person who writes that writes Ms. Marvel, which is fantastic.
Yeah, Ms. Marvel we always put over. And I think since the beginning, we've always been fans of that title, and we put it over. And not more often than not, yeah, I think it's specifically you, Lura, last week picked it for Book of the Week. So, you know, yeah. It's one of those instances where, you know, we don't – I guess you still sort of – like, there's still a little bit of that guilt because there's just so very few, at least names that I know of, that are female writers. So when you kind of put a book down because of a female writer, you kind of feel a little guilty because there's so very few of them out there.
Proportionally, most people who work in comics are white males.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. That's the way it's always been. It's probably going to be the way it's always going to be because it's just a very male-focused industry. No matter how much they try to change it, most people who read comics are white males. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, comic fans grow up and might become comic writers. That's why it happens. I got no problem with that. But, you know, like you said with G. Willow Wilson, I can put over her good work and her average work. I'm not going to pretend it's better than it is. It's got to be based on the book you're reading, not on the writer.
Okay. Sounds good.
That's it. Or artist.
All right. With
outrageous.
What did that say? Play that again.
Outrageous.
I know. I'm making shocking statements here.
Shots are fired on Comic Conversations.
Lura, a fan of consistency.
There you go. All right, happy boy. Since you like to play drops, play this week's books now that we're going to go into that.
Oh, shit. I forgot.
You fool! You had one job!
I closed out the thing.
It's okay. You know what? I kind of knew this was going to happen, so I got something as backup. So next week, you have to try not to mess up again.
Okay.
All right, then I got something. Right. Let's look at this week's books, which are as follows. Clean Room number 1, Astro City 28, Tokyo Ghost 2, Wolf 4, 1872, Issue 4, Amazing Spider-Man number 2, Astonishing Ant-Man 1, Invincible Iron Man 2, Darth Vader 11, Star Wars Shared Empire 4, Karnak 1, Uncanny Inhumans 1, Weird World 5, Book of Death, Exo Man of War 1, Ivar Time Walker 10, Ride number 11, and to round out this week's books is What If Guardians of the Galaxy number 1.
Yeah. Pretty good week.
Yeah, an average week as far as numbers are concerned. We're not talking slim pickings like 5 or 6 titles like I think we had a while back, but not like last
26.
Week. Yeah, not like 26 like last week. Honestly, if there were more weeks like this, I would love, you know, I would love doing the show more often.
There was no lightning round, which bodes well.
Yeah, nothing we thought was bad enough to bump up to the lightning round. And there was nothing that, you know, one of us decided to review solo. So this week, no lightning round, but we're going to review everything correctly.
And since we were talking about female writers.
Yeah, let's open up with Clean Room number 1, writer Gail Simone, and art by John Davis Hunt.
We almost said this is a joke because Gail Simone has a vagina. And this, I thought, was a fantastic first issue.
Had I not known, in a genre
I don't particularly care for.
No, it was a good issue. It's the premise is about we get a little glimpse at a redheaded German girl who gets in an accident, and apparently she develops some sort of paranormal powers.
Well, or she already had them because what happens is she gets hit by a truck, but she looks at the truck before it hits her, and it looks like a big monster. And you're thinking, like, maybe this is just because she's a kid, and, you know, kids can imagine things in weird ways. But another girl sees creepy stuff like this later. The little girl sees creepy stuff like this later.
They show the little girl as a grown-up later on.
Well, at the very end of the book.
Yeah, apparently she runs some sort of cult.
No, it's like she's a self-help writer.
Yeah. You know what it kind of reminded me of? The way they were, it sounded like, Scientology.
See, I didn't get that. I thought she was more like a, Tony Robbins that had a cult built around him. Because it's not a religion. Per se. It's just people read the book and they really like the book.
And some people either reading the book helps them out or drives them insane.
Yeah, they either become, you know, great human beings and their lives are better, or they go completely insane. The husband of the main character, he read the whole book and then he killed himself.
Yeah, and then she attempted to commit suicide after he died, but she was saved by some local young boys, I guess, from Florida.
But she is now seeing creepy, scary things everywhere she goes.
Yeah, and
after
and
this failed suicide attempt.
And at the same time, she's trying to get interviews with this Astrid Moeller in her organization. She's trying to get in the inside because, you know, no one's ever actually gotten in the inside and gotten a full in-depth interview. She's trying to bring them down. There's like something that they've hidden or something, I guess, that's in the book.
It's called they've got something called the Clean Room.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which she heard about from another guy who was a friend of her husband's who had read the book.
And he's homeless.
And had gone completely insane. She's talking to him, and he's, like, screaming about the clean room. So she knows when she goes to see her, she has to ask about this. And she originally isn't let in. She's got some scary woman guard who basically threatens her. And the main character points out, oh, yeah, journalists who write stories against her, they have unfortunate accidents all the time, don't they? And then she gives her, like, the death stare and... But she pointed out, you know, I've already lost everything I care about, so I don't give a shit.
I have nothing left to lose.
Yeah, and then, you know, Astrid and her, I don't know, her entourage come out to confront her, and then the first issue ends. So what this book had going for it was, it sets up an interesting plot to go forward, it's got a mystery to reveal, and it also has very, very good art.
Yeah.
I don't know this artist. But... this artist should be getting more work. I'm going to assume they work for DC, and that's why I'm not familiar with them.
Ah.
But they do very good people, and then when they have to draw scary monsters or horrific things, they're also very good at that. So I definitely want to see the artists get more work, but hopefully they can keep a set schedule so this book keeps coming out. A very promising first issue from the new Vertigo.
Yeah, I like it. I'm not super sold on the premise just yet because it seems very reminiscent of what Marvel's doing with Doctor Strange. But with that said, I will give it another try. I will give it a few more issues. It seems like a series that may have legs, but with that said, I'm not super sold on issue one.
The Doctor Strange thing is from, you know, Doctor Strange can see all the weird mystical things in the world that other people can't. She can't necessarily see that. She might be crazy. I mean, her boyfriend blew his head off and then she tried to kill herself. She might just be nuts.
Okay.
We don't know. Whereas Doctor Strange, we know for a fact he's not nuts and he actually deals with mystical stuff.
Okay. And that writer that you wanted to put over was John Davis Hunt.
Very good, John Davis Hunt. I'm a fan of yours now.
I introduced his name at the beginning, but since you put him over so big, I thought I'd go in and double check his name.
No, I like the writing. I really like the art. You got a pretty good sense of the main character, although the main character's main motivation is I'm really pissed about my boyfriend killing himself, and I have to stop the woman who I blame for it.
Well, apparently he does a lot of work for IDW.
Ah.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they usually have good art, too. I mean, it's all licensed stuff, though, so we don't read it a lot.
Okay, let's move on to our next book, Astro City 28, writer Kurt Busiek, art by Gary Chaloner.
It's a one-shot, kind of fun story. Wasn't a great story, but it was fine.
No, it was fun. It had a neat idea. I mean, it's the whole cartoon characters coming to life. They referenced it in this Astro City as Looney Leo, the former children's TV star who now runs a nightclub in Astro City.
Yeah.
So they had that, but they showed the wolf spider's origin. He got bit by a radioactive wolf spider. Or no, he just got bit by a wolf spider, which is previously undiscovered.
Yeah.
His mom was a scientist, and she experimented on him to try to cure him, but one of the things she did made him shrink.
Yep.
When he was shrunk, she said, hey, all your neural pathways and stuff have been rewritten, so you could technically support 4 extra arms. And then she built him some Dr. Octopus-esque, not tentacles, but spider arms.
Basically. Yeah. Very reminiscent of what Spider-Man had when Iron Man made him that suit.
Yeah, Iron spider suit or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then since he was small, she made him a little hover bike because it would be easier for him to get around than walking everywhere. He could also shoot, like, venom blasts, which they never showed him developing that. Anyway, when he turned 22, he could grow, and then he could change his size and decided to become a superhero. Because when he was a little kid, he didn't have any friends or anything. He couldn't do much because he was, you know, the size of a spider. But he really liked this Australian cheesy cartoon about a team of superheroes with names like Banana Bender and Captain Kookaburra. And
I believe the name was Queen's Claw.
No, Queen's Law.
Queen's Law. He comes to America. He gets to join the Honor Guard, because the Honor Guard apparently just fucking invites everybody to join their team. There's got to be like 50 million of them. But he joins the Honor Guard. He's doing good for himself. But then he sees a news report that Queen's Law has appeared actually in Australia. So he's like, oh, man, they're real. And I could finally join the team. I could do what I always wanted to do since I was a kid. So he goes there and he fights with them, and they get a little upset that he's horned in on their territory.
Yeah, he fights alongside them, but and then they kind of invite him to be part of a team, but then it's a ruse. Apparently, one of the villains, he had made something where people are kind of like drawn to them and into believing like they're real. Like, you know, if they're obviously a cartoon, so why would they be real? But, you know, people just believed it. And it was, you know, they would stage these fights while, you know, a robbery is going, you know, is happening. But really, the whole plan is to actually have the robbery go.
They would stop the people stealing, but then they would steal something themselves.
Yeah, well, everyone distracted, congratulating the heroes, they would, behind their backs, go and steal the money.
Which is a great superhero or supervillain plot. Pretend we're heroes and then... You know, so kind of sneak away with something.
So basically, they fight all these villains and they never recover the loot.
Well, it was – no, it was – they explained that specifically. They stole something else. Like the villains stole whatever. Oh. They stopped them and recovered that, but they stole something else that was in the same place.
Got it.
And they were working for a mad scientist who basically copied whatever they used for Looney Leo, and he like grafted these cartoon images and personalities onto a group of criminals.
Yes.
Which is why they were all dicks and they weren't just like the cartoons. So, but Man-Spider stopped them. Yeah. And then he considered taking the little amulets that allowed them to become the cartoon characters. He's like, you know, I could find six people who are good people and give this to them. And then we could have a real Queen's Law, but they'd actually be good. But he determined that because of the thing that makes people like them, it wouldn't be right. So he just destroyed them.
Yeah, he thought there was too much power. There was a chance that, you know, even though he had good intentions, it'd be easy to corrupt this thing. So.
Yep.
So he just decided to burn it up. So.
You know, another good one-off. Busiek is never going to finish the story, I'm predicting.
Yeah, from the original one with the door?
Yeah, because he spends all this time just hinting at it or whatever happened to, what was the guy's name? The Broken Man?
Yeah, that was a thing I thought was going to be, you know, they were going to be interwoven amongst all the stories, and that just never went anywhere.
Yeah, he did it for a while, and then he didn't do it for a bit, and now we haven't seen that guy forever.
Or maybe he's secretly working in the background, and he's going to pop out when we least suspect it.
Well, he's not the bad guy, as far as we know.
No.
He's just the guy who knows everything that's going on. So, you know, we got the American Chibi mystery solved.
Yeah.
And now I'm still waiting for him to get back to. What I'm worried about is, what if he tells all the stories he wants to tell, and then he tells that story, and then the book ends?
Well, I think this book is going to continue for a while, so I don't know if it's going to be ending anytime soon, so.
Well, it can, but, you know, I always get worried about Astro City because of the release history.
Well, with that said, it's like, am I going to feel ripped off after we got, what, almost two dozen good stories, so.
It's not about getting ripped off. It's about Astro City is, in general, it's different every single month. It's a superhero book that is consistently good.
Is that the way it's always been, or has it usually had a linear storyline?
No, he did the same thing. He would do a storyline, like a 3-4 issue storyline, and then he would do a one-off or a couple of them, and then he'd do another storyline. That's just how he does it. That's how he's always done it.
Okay.
And he's continuing to do it here, and that's fine. But he never had one continuing story that went through all the books.
Okay, cool. All right, let's move on to our next book. A book I'll admit, I was wrong. Marvel was correct. This week's Tokyo Ghost number 2, writer Rick Remender, art by Sean Murphy.
It was a much better issue than issue 1. I think just because issue 1, they kind of just threw us in there. I mean, it was alright.
Yeah, and you liked the first issue, but even you'll agree that this issue was significantly better.
Yeah, and this one we got the origin story of Debbie and Teddy, mm-hmm. two main characters. They show how, you know, they grew up together and how they grew up in the society, you know, where everyone's, you know, a lot of people are addicted. They were neighbors, you know, they became a couple, and Teddy was bullied and beat up. And was unable to protect Debbie, so he entered something called the Constable Program, and they jacked him full of steroids, and he became like some sort of bounty hunter.
Well, it wasn't so much they just jacked him with steroids, but they injected him with all this, you know, cutting edge technology, and the thing
Super Soldier Serum.
Well, no, it was. Yeah. I felt like the most important part was they came together because they were very much anti technology, and then because of what happened, where you know he got beat up in front of his girlfriend had to defend him. He felt the need to go out there and get all this technology to make them all jacked up. Sort of betraying, you know, initially why they got together and why they fell in love.
Wait, so the plot of this was he was on the beach with his girlfriend, and some big muscle guy came and kicked sand in his face.
No.
And then he got on the Atlas system and. No.
What happened was they were together and they were getting taped by voyeurs. There's these people, they called it something like MyTube or some shit, where a bunch of kids would create their own stories and film people and then create dialogue while they're doing it. And they're like, leave us the fuck alone. And then Teddy would try to protect his girlfriend Debbie from these guys. You know, it was like six of them. And he would get beat up. So, you know, she came back with a weapon and beat him up. And, but they still had filmed all this. Cause, you know, they ran away. And then, you know, people were making fun of him, you know, even his teachers, you know, in this world full of,
like the teacher, what he called him, a grade A pussy.
Yeah, he got class. He called him a grade A pussy.
In class, no less.
Well, like all the they also drew dongs on his face before they, edited the video together. So it caused a problem.
So yeah, he entered that constable program so that this would never happen. And then when he joined it and became all jacked up, he nearly killed those kids who taped him.
Yeah, and he, like I said, he knew that his girlfriend wouldn't approve, but he was so embarrassed of what happened, he did it anyway.
Yeah.
So remember, the story as of right now is she's trying to save him, bring back her old boyfriend, even though he's lost inside this, you know, this, techno, I guess, new body.
Yeah.
So he,
in the first issue, remember they had one more job to do and they would be able to, you know, resign and, you know, get out of their contracts or deals or whatever the hell they have and, move on with their lives. Mr. Flack, who's the guy who they work for, they're like, okay, well, you know, you have to do this one last job for me and then I promise. Her plan all along was to go to Japan because Japan gave up technology. Mm-hmm. So Mr. Flack wants them to go to Japan and to take out their anti-technology fields because they got these fields that, you know, prevent them from having technology.
Yeah, they're EMP fields.
Yeah. And, they want to do that because they want to steal Japan's resources.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently they're the only country that still has like actual resources because they went anti-technology at some point.
Okay. So the issue, it ends off with they pretty much land, in Japan and they're confronted by, I guess, this Japanese man. That's pretty much where the issue, ends off.
Well, there was a woman at the end.
Oh, okay. I saw them. They met up with a couple of Japanese people, but then at the very end, they were confronted by one specific Japanese person. So I forgot if it was a man or a woman.
Yeah, it was a woman. No, when they were chasing somebody, it was a man, but then they were chasing that guy and then they ended up encountering some woman. Who's apparently like, I guess, the head honcho.
Okay. Like I said, I'll admit when I was wrong, and I was wrong about this, at least this issue specifically. Maybe I hope in the future that I could say that about the series, and I'm anticipating the next issue.
Yeah, good issue.
All right, let's move on to our next title. Wolf. Speaking of things that I'm interested in and looking forward to, something I don't want to read ever again. Wolf number 4, writer Alex Cott, writer Matt Taylor.
And I'm actually the only one who likes this, but I'm not going to be lightning rounding because I don't like doing lightning round.
Okay. This is not one of those books where you're going to, you know, fall on your, shields for. We're not big on it. You like it, but you don't like it enough to do a lightning round of it.
Yeah. No, I don't like anything enough to do a lightning round with. I talk too much to do lightning round. I'm bad at it.
You also say you don't know why you like this.
Yeah, that's the other problem. I keep saying I like this book, but I don't know why. Therefore, I've always found it very hard to talk about. I get a feeling. This one I understood more why I liked it, because the main character was kind of a badass in it, and we had like a big plot moment in the end. So, I mean, this one, it moved, and I know why I liked it, but before this, I had no fucking idea how I liked it. 90% of this book was him torturing a vampire to learn information about the end of the world. And he, you know, he throws holy water in his face and he takes him outside and on the rooftop when the sun's coming
up.
He's
trying to get information out of him by threatening to leave him in the sun.
And then he does anyway, doesn't he?
Yeah, because he gave him some information, but he didn't give him the specific that he wanted, so he just killed him.
Dick. But then he shows up with the girl to the evil old man.
Who is? Drumroll?
Her dad, but we found that out in the last issue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's her dad. So what happens is he explains he actually wanted her there too. He needed her blood, and he needed an immortal's blood, which is our main character. And mixing it somehow would allow him to bring on the apocalypse.
Yeah,
correct.
Suddenly, the Santa Ana winds they keep talking about, which are full of ghosts, I guess, came and fucked things up. And then Anita Christ, she turned into a giant fucking wolf monster. And ate her dad?
That's what I got the impression of.
and then took our main character, put him in a car, and then drove off with him and basically said, I'm gonna go fuck shit up. Now, I'm not sure if this happened because he succeeded in his plan and she will now bring about the end of the world. By the way, she is the wolf in the title, apparently. It is not him.
Go figure.
Yeah, because she is a giant fucking werewolf. But the last page was her in the car with him. She's like, ah, we're gonna fuck shit up. She's driving away. Okay. And he looks kind of scared because big wolf.
Okay, Luro, you know what you've convinced me of? You know what we'll do is I'll be down a book, but we'll do the review and I'll be like, hey, this wasn't too bad now that I think about it. You know, we have a week like this where we got, you know, enough books that are in the teens, maybe not more than 20. I'll give this another try. How about that?
But I didn't say anything that wasn't in the book. Like, this is just what happened in the book. I know the image of a little girl turned into a werewolf driving in a car is very humorous, but you don't have to read the book.
Well, we'll see when Wolf number 5 comes out, and if we got, like I said, books that are in the teens, I'll give it another try. How about that?
Okay. Okay.
You cool with that?
Yeah, I'm going to keep reading it. I want to see what she does.
All right. Let's move on to our next book, Amazing Spider-Man number 2, writer Dan Slott. Okay, let's see. This is a challenge because, the first name I got right, Giuseppe. And the last name is Camoil.
This is a funny comic.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Almost overly funny. Like, there were constant jokes in this. And I know it's Spider-Man, but he just wouldn't give up the one-liners.
Yeah, even in the specific part in the book when they're going completely dark and they're like, okay, cut it out with the quips already.
Yeah, he still won't shut the fuck up. Like, Peter has regressed in age. He is now like a 17-year-old again. Except, you know, he's rich and has confidence and
responsibilities.
Runs a company. Yeah, he has responsibilities, but he has great responsibility.
He has greater responsibility.
It's not really showing it, but.
No, he is, but he's still, you know, doing with the quips. So I think you can have your cake and eat it too if you're Spider-Man.
Oh yeah, and they did the thing in this where it's like, everything failed. No, it was a part of my plan all along. And then S.H.I.E.L.D. revealed, it actually wasn't a part of your plan. You still fucked up, but you found us a way to make it okay. was what they discovered.
Yeah, when they took his little wrist dealie.
His webware, which he was which by the way, I have to shit on, Hobie there because he's like, how much does that thing cost? And he goes, $49.99. And he's like, how much does it cost to make? And he goes, $16.24. He's like, God, you're a criminal. And I'm just thinking, this fucking thing does more than an iWatch, which.
Yeah, and cheaper.
Yeah, and it only costs $50. Like, Peter Parker's doing a great service to the world with this product.
Was it that product he was talking about, or was he talking about the Spire Tracers? I believe he was talking about the Spire Tracer, dude.
No. He's talking about his iWatch.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah,
because he compared, that's what he called it. He's like, your iWatch, and he's like, yeah, it's so much more advanced than the iWatch. So.
Yeah, the Peter and the Prowler, they make their way to the Zodiac's hideout to retrieve, Parker's webware. They're underwater is where the hideout is. The Zodiac, you know, they're trying to crack it and reverse engineering it, but, they're unable to crack it because apparently Peter, you know, he's a super genius and he crypted it to high hell.
Mm-hmm. So, he's apparently a tech genius now.
Yeah. So they send encrypted info to all their hideouts so that, you know, they could try to crack it before Parker could retrieve it because they, you know, they abandoned ship. They all, you know, most of them escaped. They caught a few of the criminals, but, you know, they got the webware back. And, you know, when they left it, they said, oh, you know, it was planned all along, but not quite, you know, he was working with S.H.I.E.L.D. So they have the whereabouts of all their hideouts now.
Yeah. Cause they lost the hardware, but they were able to get all the encrypted information on there. So they sent it out to all their locations to try to, you know, crack the code. But the thing is, they didn't realize they were also, there was a tracer with all that information. So they were able to find all the Zodiac, locations across the globe.
Yeah. So, and, you know, during this story, Peter was having flashbacks of when Silver Sable drowned. Cause, that happened, a couple of years ago. It was that story remember when Dr. Octopus, before he, died and went into Peter's body, he did that thing with,
Ends of the Earth?
Yeah, the end of the Earth story. Mm-hmm. She died right before that, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the end of the issue, it looks like they're bringing back Rhino.
Yeah, he went to Rhino, no longer wears a suit.
Boo.
And he's just hanging out in a diner. And it's all sad face.
It's like a beach or something.
Yeah.
And for at least for me, maybe I don't know if anybody else cared about this, but initially on the first issue, we had an African American Nick Fury talking to them. And I kept thinking, could this be the ultimate Nick Fury? And it's in this issue that they revealed it's just Nick Fury Jr.
I always knew.
But he's been aged up.
Yeah, a little bit.
He's older. He looks, whereas before he looked like a slightly younger version of Ultimate Nick Fury, he's just Nick Fury in this world,
mm-hmm.
pretty much. Like they don't mention Nick Fury, and he's in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D. Before this also, he wasn't in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D. So that changed.
Oh, by the way, this came out in the solicitation. They're rewriting Star-Lord's origin to be more like the movie.
Yeah, you know, with
Mondo. I mentioned that on our Facebook, by the way.
Oh, you did?
Even I didn't see that.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I thought I did it.
No, okay, I saw what you meant. You didn't. You mentioned it in a comment somewhere. So I don't think you made it directly, attributed a news story. We were talking about something and you specifically brought up the fact that they're training it more and more like the movie, so.
They're gonna involve, Yondu.
I guess they could rewrite some other origins now too, since, they got an excuse now because
of really need to with a lot of them though, cause his origin was kinda different.
Yeah, his origin was,
he's had a few, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's...
I think he was like an astronaut before in the 60s there was an issue, I think it was Wade that wrote it. It was a zero issue for the New Guardians when they did a relaunch.
Mm-hmm.
It showed him when the mom was attacked and I think he got kidnapped. I think
that's what happened in the movie.
Yeah, but this happened before the movie. But this
the mom died, she didn't get attacked.
Yeah, they redid the They kind of redid the origin for that zero issue, I remember.
He's going to start carrying a Walkman around with him. That's going to be the big change.
See, I wonder this, like, how many people are like, they won't read the book because it's nothing like the movie?
And then I don't think there's that many.
And then I wonder the flip side is, like, how many aren't going to read it because it's like they changed it from the comic books and now it's like the movie?
I don't think it'll have any.
Then I wonder why bother doing it then.
Just because they want some consistency and stuff. There are so many places where they just can't have consistency with the movies and the comics. Mm-hmm. I think with Star-Lord, it's a pretty easy change.
Okay.
And it doesn't affect ongoing stories that much. Yeah, so.
And with Secret Wars wrapping up and all this, we don't know exactly what happens at the end of that, but, obviously some universe bending stuff happens. So they're able to, tweak a couple things.
Well, Yondo is from, the real Guardians.
Or 3000, I should say.
Which is in the year 3000, yeah. So yeah, they're gonna have to do some changing to fit him in.
I just hope we get a return of Guardians 3000, because that was a fun book.
It is, but it's called Guardians of Infinity or something.
Okay. As long as it's coming back, that's all I care
about. Yeah, no, it's coming back, but it's the same creative team, it's just, it's a different book. It's got a slightly different team, I think, but overall it's gonna be the same thing.
Okay, cool. All right, let's move on to our next book, 1872, number 4, writer Jerry Duggan, art by Nicole Varela.
This is a fun issue.
Yeah, this made me happy that this is continuing, right? Kind of. Red Wolf's going to have a comic in this world. Yeah, that's good, because this made that promising.
Yeah, they with Red Wolf, the aid of Tony Stark and Black Widow, they defeated the Kingpin. He was going to bring Kingpin to justice, but Black Widow just ended up shooting him.
That was funny. And he's like screaming the whole way, like, I'll kill you. I'll get you back for this. People like me don't go to jail. And then just bam.
Yep.
Got him.
Happy. And they're like, you didn't have to do that.
Yeah. All the people were celebrating and like dancing.
Yeah.
Cause they were happy because they killed Boss Hogg.
Yeah. Boss Hogg, he says.
Pretty much what he was.
Hamley's, apparently Roxxon has kind of left hands off of, their hands off of Timely for the time being.
That'll be the big villain in the series, I bet.
Yeah. Red Wolf is, the new sheriff and Carol Danvers is the leader of the town government. Yeah. They opened the door for more Western Marvel heroes like, Spider-Man, Punisher, Hulk.
Yeah, because yeah. Punisher came in at the end. He was like a priest.
He was like, yeah, he was a preacher with a gun.
Yeah, preacher with a gun is Punisher, and he wants to kill, what was it? He wants to kill the wrong people. He thinks he's doing the right thing, but he's not, because they cleared somebody's name.
You're getting awfully windy there, Laurel.
Oh, sorry. They cleared somebody's name, but Punisher was not made aware of this because news moves slowly in,
the West.
In the Wild West. So they didn't know. So Punisher and another character who I'm not familiar with, possibly an old Western character, are going around killing these, trying to kill these five people.
See, when we did news, there was a new Punisher series, but I was kind of hoping that this would be the new Punisher.
No, I want my real Punisher back.
We can have both.
Well, we are going to have both.
No, I mean, in the sense, we're not going to get a solo series for this new Punisher in the Wild West. What's
multiple
that?
Multiple Punisher series doesn't work. Never works.
Was that it?
Oh, the other guy you're talking about, that's Deadpool, dude.
Oh, that was Deadpool?
Yeah, look at his buckle.
Oh, I didn't even notice. I'm just looking at him. I'm like, who the fuck is that?
Look at his face. Look at it. He's got the words on his back.
Okay.
There you go.
Deadpool and Punisher.
Yeah, this series has legs, and if it keeps Jerry Duggan, I have to imagine we're going to keep reading this.
Yeah.
But that's the thing with all these post-Secret Wars titles. I don't know if they're going to keep...
They might have Hulk, too.
Yeah, they showed Hulk, and he showed what looks like...
A radioactive spider, yeah. So, yep.
Okay, let's move on to our next book. Astonishing Ant-Man number 1, writer Nick Spencer, art by Ramon Rosanas.
Okay. How the mighty have fallen.
You didn't like this?
Yeah, I know. You're in the minority then.
No, I'm saying like how, you know, the Scott in this book.
Oh,
how he
let me give a critique of this book. I did like it. Let me say that first. I'm going to put it over. But, okay. Again, comics are a visual medium, and I should not have this many text bubbles in my comic. I know they were like doing an overview of everything that happened in the last series, but as someone who read the last series, which was not very long, it was like, what, 8 issues?
Yeah.
I didn't need this much exposition being given over and over again by multiple characters. Because we had Power Broker coming in, and he just talked a lot, but he didn't give exposition. We had that Cross guy talking forever about everything that happened. We had Scott Lang talking forever about what had happened. His daughter gave new information, but there was just a lot of... You know, this could have been handled by one of those upfront pages where they said, this is what you've missed.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that was all. The usual Marvel recap thing that they do in the front of the book.
Yeah, I mean, it was the same fucking writer. Like, they told him to do it, though. I'm sure they told him to do it now that he's got it out of the way. The other issues won't have this, and I'm fine with that. But just a little wordy, that's all.
Yeah, he's having a hard time getting work again because, you know, he's a failed superhero, more or less. He tries to get a contract with a museum, and apparently the guy's a mark for superheroes.
Which he thought meant he's in.
Yeah. So they did some stuff with, kind of like with the movie, the guy who's the police officer who's like, you know, in the overlooking this whole thing is the stepdad of his daughter.
Correct.
I thought that was funny. I haven't seen the movie, so I didn't.
Oh, you don't have it?
No, it hasn't come out on the home yet, dude.
I don't know. I thought you had seen it already.
Your nefarious means of watching movies that we do not.
No, I won't watch. I won't watch cams. They look like shit.
Oh.
So.
Yeah. There's more stuff with Darren Cross and the Power Broker. Apparently, Power Broker has created a...
Oh, I love this. This is my favorite part of the book.
We saw this.
Yeah, they showed it at the last issue, I think. The very last issue of the series where they mentioned the Hench app. But I think it was
Taskmaster, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Taskmaster.
Yeah, he used the Hench app.
But in this one, he apparently it does algorithms to pick the perfect villain. Apparently, the perfect villain for him is the Whirlwind.
How is Whirlwind the perfect villain for Ant-Man?
They explained it in the issue.
Yeah, he would have killed him too if it hadn't been for the fact that what's his name?
Power Broker.
Power Broker decided to pull it out because the one guy didn't want to pay.
Yeah, well, that actually was really funny. So what he did was, Darren Cross the dad?
Yes.
Okay, so Darren Cross, he's going, because he's been not in commission for a while. So his son's talking to him about, oh, we got to meet with this Power Broker guy about the new app he's developed. And he's like, oh, this crap is all a fad. And he's like Vince McMahon. Fucking millennials doing all this stuff. And he's talking to him. He's like, yeah, well, you know, the first round of investment went really well. But the second round, we don't want too many people on the board. So we're hoping to keep it down, you know, less. But if you could match the invest, and he's like, well, how much do you want? 50,000? 100,000? I'll pay anything. And he goes, 1.2 billion. And the guy just yells, extortion!
And it's this where they cut to the fight of Whirlwind and Ant-Man, and he's got Ant-Man on the ropes. But then as Power Broker, you know, cancels the order, David Cross is like, whoa, 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 whoa. But then but at this point, you know, the Power Broker's already left.
The best part was later in the issue, Ant-Man's like walking around and he gets an email on his phone and it's from the hench app asking him how difficult his fight with the villain was.
To rate the app.
Yeah. And he's like, spam, which that was completely awesome. I mean, it's a little goofy, but it fits this book. They showed him interacting with Machine Smith and Grizzly, and they're still, you know, they're kind of being good guys, but they're still not totally good guys. Like Grizzly Man asked him, like, hey, next time, can we do the robbery? And, your human interest moment is, because of Cassie, his daughter being put in danger, he no longer talks to her. He no longer visits her.
Yeah.
He stays completely away from her now. And she's bitching about this because she thinks she doesn't know that she was captured because of supervillain stuff.
Yeah, she didn't know what happened with her heart, so she just assumed that her heart gave out and she needed a transplant. And she got all offended when Scott didn't want to show up when she was, recovering. So
yeah, and he won't go to any of her basketball games, even though she kind of sucks at basketball. Oh, anyway,
he's at the games. He just
That's the thing. He's there, but he shrunk down. Like, he's been to all her like parent teacher conferences. He's been to all her games. He's been to all this, that. He's done. He's been at everything, but he can't. And I don't understand why he can't tell her.
That's what I was about to say. Why can't he just tell her? It's like, I understand she may not be cool with it, but at least she'll know he's not being just a deadbeat.
Yeah, he's like, I'm doing it so you're safe. Which, by the way, is also stupid, because if people really want, they'll be able to figure out he has a fucking daughter. Like, they're gonna find out. And why is his daughter in so much more danger than every other super person's daughter? Or son?
Yeah, because how many members of all these superhero teams, not only do they have regular families, but how many of these superheroes who have children that are also superheroes, and this doesn't seem to happen?
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Doom killed her. Darren Cross almost killed her. And Darren Cross is a C-lister at best. Like, dude, you should give your fucking daughter the powers again. Maybe she can do something.
And he's the main villain in the movie.
Still a C-lister. It's fine. He needs his own villains.
Okay. Sorry. I'm getting a little ahead of myself because I'm looking at our next book, Invincible Iron Man number 2. Writer Brian Michael Bendis, art by David Marquez. I'm just remembering the one line where someone brings up, I miss when Iron Man had a nose. It made him so personable.
Yeah.
And I'm doing a Google image search right now of it, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, when he had the Iron Man nose. Do you know the story behind that?
No.
You've told us.
Yeah, he only had a nose for a couple issues, and the reason why was, I believe it was when Bill Jamis was editor in chief, and he was looking at Iron Man, and he went to the artist, he said, he looks stupid, give him a nose. And he's like, why would he?
Then the nose was even more stupid.
Yeah, and he's like, why would he have a nose? And then like, after the issue came out, Jamis looked at the art, because he was very notorious for, he would look at finished pages of art at the last minute and cancel them and force them to redraw them. Jamis is a dick.
So is Vince.
He's got a new comic company coming out he has new comics out, by the way. It's all zombie based.
Oh.
They're apparently just horrifically bad. That was an aside. But yeah, so he sees the art with him with a nose and he's like, the fuck did you draw a nose on him for? That looks retarded. And then the guy had to redraw it again. So only one or two issues
made
it out.
I'm looking at some of these depictions of him with the nose. It doesn't look terrible in some of these instances, but in some of them, yeah, it does look pretty stupid.
Well, he's had different costumes since. I don't know if they ever brought the nose back. I assume they did at some point. But anyway, that was the nose.
Because I'm looking at some of these. Some of these are literally just drawn like a slit and it looks fine. But I think initially way back when you sent it to me, it was like a pointy nose. And I'm like, that looks ridiculous.
That was probably the first one. The majority of this comic was about Dr. Doom.
Yeah, the new Dr. Doom. He's still a very high level sorcerer, but no armor. And his face is new because this is the new Doom or something.
He has turned face, apparently.
Apparently. Supposedly.
He is a good guy. And, Madame Mask tried to break in to let Varia to steal, the wand of Watoom. which is funny because Iron Man's like, doesn't Doctor Strange have that? But Doom just got done explaining to him, like, listen, we got all these parallel realities and stuff. So, you know, sometimes magical objects will just kind of drop here. He's like, and I picked up one of them, and Doctor Strange picked up one of them. We both have one. And he's like, oh, so Madame Mask goes to steal it, but she stole a fake one. Mm-hmm. Doom just wanted to meet with Iron Man. Doom gives Iron Man the real one to show him that he can trust him because he knew Iron Man wouldn't believe Doom is good. By the way, he was about to arrest Doom.
Yeah,
and then Doom's
crimes against humanity or something.
Yeah, and Doom's like, no, you don't. And apparently this made Iron Man go, oh, okay, you're right, I won't. And he just, he left.
Well, he didn't say it quite like that, but he was kind of hesitant, but he was like wondering, well, maybe he's on the level with this whole thing with Madame Mask, and then he had other shit on his mind. So, Doom, the rebels were rising, you know, in Latveria, and, but, you know, he said, he goes, they don't need me anymore, rule anymore. I meant for something bigger or something, so.
Well, yeah, and he did mention he was pissed off. He's like, you know, when I was in charge, their lives were pretty good, and they all had food to eat. And now I'm not in charge, and they're rebelling, and everything's shit.
But he did he was stopping these rebels because Tony tries to stop him, but Doom teleports him back to New York with coordinates to Madame Mask. Yeah. So it's assumed that Doom just obliterated the rebels,
or he didn't, and he just wanted Iron Man out of there.
Maybe.
Yeah, remember, if Doom's a good guy, he'd tell the truth, and if he was telling the truth, he wasn't going to do anything.
So Tony finds Madame Mask, and they have a little chat, and she tries to kill Tony, but is blocked by his stealth suit. So then she then attacks again, but it appears to be some sort of magic attack or something.
Mm.
And that's sort of where the issue ends.
That's the one thing. I know it's kind of goofy, and it's almost like laughable. I kind of like the new suit in the sense that there's no need for all these extra suits anymore. It's just the one suit, and he can pretty much conjure whatever suit he needs in any given moment.
It's neat. Yeah. No, but I was going to say, again, the only reason Madame Mask isn't the lamest villain ever is because we had the fucking Zodiac gang or whatever in Spider-Man. a lot of weak villains in the Marvel U these days.
Yeah, Doom's being a babyface now, so it's like...
Although, you know, Madame Mask has history with him because he fucked her.
Nice. Good
so
on
that's
him.
Something.
All right, let's move on to our next book, Darth Vader, number 11, writer Karen Gillian, art by Salvador Lacaro.
This was certainly a more exciting issue.
Yes, much better.
And they're still teasing that Grand Inspector knows what's up. Strongly teasing.
Yeah, and the reason why I think shit is up is because, allegedly, the next issue is the last one.
Okay, so, well, I mean, he's gonna, this issue ends with Vader, getting girl to escape his science girl.
He was going to kill her, but she had
He was going to kill her, but she found out where Luke was, and that's what he wanted to know. So he let her escape and then told the guy, like, oh, it was a trap.
Yeah,
and he was like, it's a trap.
But he was like, oh, I already planned for this escape.
Yeah, he's like, oh, a trap, of course. But traps are so common, I set up one myself. And, like, they show her ship, and there's just, you know, the fucking Star Destroyers and 8 million spaceships surrounding her. So he's going to catch her, and he's going to do stuff to her so she can give up that Vader was behind all this nonsense.
Although Vader will probably end up killing her.
Vader should just kill him.
Oh,
Vader is going to kill her because she doesn't exist anywhere else
in the
movie. So she probably is going to kill her, or she'll disappear, but probably kill her. But he's probably going to kill this guy. he is the Emperor's right hand. Can't he just force choke him and be like, oh, he's gonna betray you?
But right now remember where we last left off? He's not the Emperor's right hand man anymore.
Yeah, I remember.
Well, he still has a lot of pull, doesn't he? Like, he's not ranked below this guy.
No, they put this guy over him to oversee the investigation.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Okay. Still, he could kill him and lie.
Yeah, he could, I guess.
Like, oh, he got shot.
I like there was that one scene where that one guy was, you know, about to bust Vader, and then he used his force, whatever, he was able to maneuver a blast that was going to hit Vader and it hit the other guy.
And the guy just doesn't believe. He's like, oh, an unfortunate lucky shot.
Yeah.
This guy is annoying the shit out of me. Like, you can tell that the book has been dragged on by how many times this guy has basically said, I know what's going on, but I'm not ready to tell you that. He's been doing it for like fucking 6 issues.
Yeah. This is one of those things where if it had gone the initial 6 issues, it would have been really strong. It would have been so far and in my opinion, it's the best Star Wars title still, but it would have been a really strong book. But the fact that they sort of watered it down and, you know, expanded it to 12 issues, they kind of watered down the initial story.
Yeah, they did, definitely.
Okay, let's continue the Star Wars discussion with Star Wars Shattered Empire writer Greg Rucka, art by Marco Cicchetto.
Well, this certainly ended quick.
Yeah, well, it was always going to be 4 issues. No, but this was a nice little finale.
No, it was. It was good because we got Luke be a badass Jedi.
Yeah,
although, fucking save a tree?
Yeah, this is 3 months since the Battle of Endor, and apparently it was the last tree that from when the Jedi
it was the Jedi Temple on Coruscant. There was a tree that grew in the courtyard, and apparently the Force was strong with this tree, and the Emperor had taken it. Like, I guess it was like a tree in a part of a tree and then another part of the tree, but it was still growing. He'd sent it to a research lab, a heavily protected research lab, and they had no idea why they were studying this fucking tree. Luke wanted it back. And one of them he took to do something with. We'll probably see it in the movie. The other one he gave to the girl who was retiring from the military with her husband, and they planted it on whatever planet they're in.
Yeah, in their backyard.
Yeah.
But lots of fighting, lots of lightsaber smoking dudes. There was a little blood in this.
I don't know what you guys think. I thought it was kind of lackluster.
I liked it.
Okay.
The first issue was the only one I didn't like. I liked every issue since.
Yeah, I don't understand why this fucking tree is so important besides the vague, like, oh, well, you know, it means something because of where it was, and the Force is strong with this tree.
I can understand in the sense that it's the only thing that's left of the Jedi Temple.
But Luke has no connection to the Jedi Temple aside from being a Jedi. He was never even really trained.
Remember in the Star Wars book, he's looking for that temple or something?
As far as we know, he never got there.
Well, the story hasn't continued yet. Remember, it's still ongoing. He's still on that planet. They're supposed to, like, be rescuing him or something.
Maybe in the new movies, Luke restarts the Jedi Order.
That's what happened in your books, wasn't it?
Yeah, but maybe they do it again, and he had to make a new Jedi Temple, so he wanted the tree from the original temple.
Exactly. He wanted whatever he could get from the original Jedi Temple. And when considering, I imagine what Palpatine must have done to the original Jedi Temple, he must have burned everything down except probably these two trees.
And any Sith artifacts they had, which he hid in his ship.
I have a pretty good feeling that they're going to show that tree in the movie.
Yeah, the tree will be in the movie.
Okay, cool. All right, let's move on to our next title. Let's see, what do I have?
Do Rise so I can, you know, take a bathroom break.
Okay, because I had to ask Fat Man something about Rye.
Okay.
Did we miss an issue?
You missed an issue.
Oh.
Remember that week that you took off?
And I never read Rye.
And you didn't play catch up. You didn't read that one issue. So
I read this, and by the end, I understood what was going on. But I'm reading it, and I'm like, okay, he has like a big, strong idiot friend, and he's sort of healed, and he's no longer being carried away by guys, and I'm like, I must have missed an issue. but I don't have enough time to go find it.
Well, even though I did read the last issue, time has moved along the timeline in Rye. So there's some stuff that openly that they didn't cover that you're just supposed to assume happened in the interim.
Okay. But did he meet this big guy?
He met him at the end of the last issue, yeah.
Okay, so that's fine. So he's been traveling with this big guy across Earth. He's getting more used to his new body. He's getting used to having to drink and eat and rest, which he never had to do before. So that's good. He comes across the big high point of this issue was he finds Eternal Warrior.
Mm-hmm. And awesome, by the way, lets, I marked out for that.
Yeah, he lets. Well, I told you Eternal Warrior was going to be in this. Once they introduced the Geomancer, you knew Eternal Warrior was going to be in this. But Eternal Warrior is all sad face because the last Geomancer is dead and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, it's my job to protect the Geomancer. And I thought they were all dead and I was sad. But he let slip that, no, the I escaped from Father and he had the Geomancer. And he's like, Gilead's like, what? Geomancer's on New Japan? We got to go to New Japan and kill Father.
Mm-hmm.
The big point of this book was fucking everyone wants to kill Father. There are multiple. Okay, Rai wants to kill Father. Eternal Warrior wants to kill Father. Everybody on Earth wants
There's
to kill
Father.
There's
that kid that wants to kill Rai because he thinks he's Father.
Yeah, and then there are the people on New Japan. There are now multiple groups who want to kill Father. There's the crazy robot guy who found out his crazy robot brothers, which he had told were sent to Earth, were actually sent to New Rome. They were sent to one of the areas on New Japan, and then it was sealed off. So he broke his way in and found all the crazy robots. They all want to kill Father. Unfortunately, they probably also want to kill everything else because they're crazy robots who eat people.
Yeah.
The Geomancer and her buddy want to kill. Everyone's gunning for Father.
Yeah.
Except the new, well, there is no new Rai. The new Rai is Father.
They keep alluding that there's going to be this new Rai. Father's the new Rai?
They showed him. Yeah, he built a more advanced, like, robot suit, and then he basically put himself in it.
Ah, okay.
So Father is the new Rai. So eventually we're going to get Rai versus Rai.
Cool.
And they might kill Eternal Warrior.
And something I want to put a spotlight on, I thought it was some really good writing by Matt Kent and art by Clayton Crane. But there was this one scene where he's talking about now that he's human, that he's not quite the same anymore. He has to get used to sleeping and eating. He's all, I lost some of my, obviously my robotic strength, but the fact that I'm more human now, that I have, a different kind of strength to summon. So I thought that was a really cool little bit of writing.
It's easier for him to have motivation because he has emotions now.
Yeah, he basically has motivation now as opposed to before when he was just a robot. He just sort of just did things because that was his mission.
And he mainly went against Father because he found out Father had been lying to him.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of that. Like, that was the first 9 issues or 8 issues. He had to find out tons of stuff before he would actually turn against Father. He finally did, and then he got dumped on Earth.
So it's a series that, again, of all the Valiant titles, it's not the top tier, but it's, I think, literally right beneath that.
No, I really like this book. And like I said, it's got such a strong focus that it works. And but it's got to have an end point.
Yeah, and the fact that you brought up the Eternal Warrior, which I've been sending tons of solicitations for the Eternal Warrior books. So I'm pumped for that.
Yeah, it's in the end of every Valiant book. Well, I mean, Eternal Warrior is the only character it would make sense. Because they're so far in the future, he is, well, I mean, you know, Armstrong and Ivar would presumably be alive, but this is a very serious book, and I don't see them putting Armstrong in it. That wouldn't fit. And apparently the goat doesn't live forever. I would love if Eternal Warrior, Rai, and the goat.
Because the goat is all powerful.
Yeah, like Eternal Warrior rides on the goat to battle. That would be so amazing.
Okay, I think that'd be too goofy, but you could still do a scene where, it's Rai.
With this Eternal artist? This artist could make that work, dude.
I still wouldn't do it because it'd be too goofy, but you could still get away with the, Rai, Eternal Warrior, and the goat there.
That'd be so great. It's not going to happen. I just want to see a variant cover with the goat painted by this artist. That'd be so great.
Oh, God. Why'd you have to bring up Quantum and Woody stuff? Now I'm just bummed out.
It's coming.
I hope so, because
it always comes back.
You say that, but how long has it been now? A year? 6 months?
No. They did Quantum and Woody Must Die.
Ooh, yeah, dude. Really, try to get close to your receiver.
Oh, sorry. No, I said Quantum and Woody Must Die. It only came out, like, the last issue came out, like, 4 or 5 months ago.
Still, it's been a while. I'm missing me some Quantum and Woody, dude.
It's not a book you need to
keep
up forever.
That's, for all intents and purposes, in my eyes anyway, IMO, that is the flagship Valiant title.
Okay.
It's not at all.
I like to think it is.
I wouldn't even know which one what would be the flagship title of that.
Well, the most important one right now is Book of Death, but that's really just a mini. But
like, what's the regular ongoing flagship?
The Valiant, or not the Valiant, Unity. Because that's the book that has multiple characters
in it. Or you can make an argument because he's the most famous of all, I guess, all the Valiant characters, Exo Manowar. Maybe.
Is he?
I think that's the only one that, you know, I've seen stuff outside of the comic books on Exo Manowar, so I think that's, of all the Valiant characters, I think that's the most famous one.
I don't know, I think they give them all pretty much equal footing, but Unity has been the focus of a couple crossovers, so. Unity and Ginger.
What did Jack say?
Sorry, I'm in the room with Lauren and Jack. He put Joker, Nighthawk, a gargoyle, and apparently the Red Skull on a flipped over chair.
Okay, that sounds cool. Alright, let's move on to our next book, Uncanny Inhumans, number one, writer Charles Soule, art by Steve McNive.
McNiven?
McNiven, yeah, there we go. Thank you.
Steve McNiven. This book spoiled some stuff.
Did it?
I believe this was a book where they show Battleworld exploding.
I think that was Weird World, not in Uncanny.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, they spoiled that. Okay, so, we knew Beast was gonna be on the team.
Yeah.
And Beast is living in a till, and he's basically searching for a solution to the problem of the Terrigen Mist killing all the mutants.
Yeah.
Beast let slip that Medusa said something about your friend Cyclops, and he's like, Cyclops is not my friend. But then he said, however, he said something like he was with the mutants he basically said he was with the mutants who want to kill you. So they've set up that the mutants blame, which they should blame, the Inhumans for what's going on. And those would be the bad guys. Because only Black Bolt's responsible for this. And he didn't mean for the mutants to die. We're eventually going to find out who fucked with the Terrigen Mist, probably Maximus. To kill the mutants.
Yeah, this issue
but
laid...
Cyclops left those guys. They let that slip.
This issue led the groundwork for two Inhuman... There's like two concurrent stories going around. One is, it's Black Bolt, Triton, and Reader traveling through time looking for Black Bolt's lost son. Because apparently before, Secret Wars, took place, Black Bolt made a deal with Kang the Conqueror. To keep his son safe during the cataclysm of Secret Wars. And, like, even if everything were to survive, he'd still have his son.
Yeah, because he'd be in the past.
Yeah. So, and then the other one is the Inhumans led by Medusa trying to integrate themselves better into human society, just like the mutants before them. You know, they've had a rough time with being accepted by humankind. But, you know, they're doing stuff like, you know, trying to help out and, you know, do superhero stuff.
Okay, I thought that was a nice little scene where, you know, someone was asking him when the Inhumans, I think they were protecting the city from, I guess, some supervillains, and someone asked him, oh, aren't you Inhumans? Don't you have your own city now? Why are you bothering to do all this stuff for people that, you know, aren't part of your people anymore? He's like, you know what? We were people before, this is what Medusa's saying. Obviously all these people were, you know, humans before, and they all came from places. Yeah. So the fact that they're Inhumans doesn't change the fact that, like, the fact that they have these Inhuman powers doesn't take away, if anything, it adds to what they used to be, and they want to, you know, protect the people that they grew up with.
She was like, he's from Minnesota, he's from California, he was from fucking Uganda or something. Yeah, Kamala.
They live in New Attilan, but that doesn't, you know, take away from the fact that they grew up in California.
Yeah.
Or,
also, New Attilan is on Earth, so. You know. you probably should help out, because if Earth gets destroyed, New Attilan would be fucked too.
Well, in the sense that it's not these global threats, it's just something that, you know, they're being terrorized by, you know, these, you know, wacky B-level supervillains.
And the Inhumans can help out, so they do. And we got Johnny Storm's role revealed. Johnny Storm's role in this book is Medusa's boyfriend.
And he ends up kissing her, and then Black Bolt walks in.
Black Bolt looked pissed.
He's like, it's not what it looks like.
But and then she goes, actually, it is exactly what it looks like. Which, I don't know. I think she's just using him.
No.
Get back at Black Bolt.
I don't think so.
Johnny Storm is not a guy a queen gets in a relationship with.
You don't think so?
And by the way, he's already dated one member of the Inhuman royal family. Come on, Johnny. I know the Inhuman chicks tend to be hot, but come on. She's old enough to be your mother. Fucking Johnny Storm is a boy toy. Shawn Michaels.
Nice. But he wasn't a boy toy.
He doesn't draw either. Oh!
Oh!
Nice. See, the dogs can be funny.
There was a backup about the new humans who go on adventures to recover inhumans who were lost when Attilan crashed.
Ah.
And this one was a inhuman made of glass who can make glass things that was captured by terrorists. And they forced her to make trinkets, which they then sold in the market, apparently.
See, that was completely lost on me. I didn't even know about that backup.
Oh, no, it was there. Yeah. No, it was a good story. It was just, it was such a, like, they didn't play this up for humor, but the fact that literally they had her in a basement in Terroristan.
Terroristan. I like that.
It was some vague Middle Eastern.
I know, but I'm stealing that, by the way.
Yeah, and, well, they were all terrorists in the town. They all had, like, machine guns and were going at it. So, and also, the cop guy, Frank, I don't remember his name. The guy with the eyes. He said, oh, I can tell this is a bad place. I got a feeling like this when I was on the beat in New York. That's not what he said, but that was what he said.
Yeah, that's what he was inflecting.
That's his character.
Okay. They brought him back. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and they got the girl and they brought her back. But that's their function, is to go get these people. Oh, also Gorgon sad face because he can't walk.
Yeah, and apparently his son is with Crystal this time.
Well, that's why Johnny had to date Medusa.
Okay, cool. All right, let's keep the discussion on the Inhumans and let's talk Karnak number one writer Warren Ellis, art by Gerardo Zaffino.
Did you notice what Warren Ellis did in this book?
No.
He gave Karnak a personality.
You know what somebody described this as? I read this somewhere online and it sounded so good. The Adventures of a Nihilist Super Philosopher.
Yes. And I guess the interesting part is he gave Karnak a personality, and Karnak is not incredibly likable.
No, not at all.
He's kind of a dick.
I think he's cool, though, in the sense that he's not very likable, but with that said, he comes off a little bit as a badass.
Yeah, but he's not a bad guy.
He appears to have severed ties with the royal family, and he founded his own monastery based on his own philosophy.
No, that, he said he came from that line.
Yeah, that's so, what he looks
but
like.
I'm saying, apparently, at some point in human history, there was this Tower of Wisdom, where smart Inhumans lived, and he came from them. So yeah, it could have been a different group of Inhumans who split off, or it could have been something that was in Attilan. We don't know that. He's not working against the Inhumans in any way from what we saw.
No.
But he is working with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, it's a side deal with S.H.I.E.L.D. where they'll donate to his group if he helps with difficult cases.
Ridiculous amounts of money too. These people wanted him to help their kid. Who, from what they could tell, he got, he lost his peanut allergy and he got super depression.
Because he became an inhuman, but he became a weird inhuman, apparently.
Yeah, well, it happens. They're not all, yeah. You know, all the characters in Uncanny Inhumans are all mostly the attractive inhumans.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of inhumans who look like, you know, trite.
Yeah, just like the mutants in the sense that there's a couple of them that, you know, that look normal but just so happen to have superpowers, but there's a couple of them that are just, they don't have really cool powers and they look kind of weird, so.
Yeah. And this was apparently one of them.
To me, I think sort of Karnak sort of justified it with the line, but he came off very unlikable with the line. He was like, the reason why I offered so much, he's like, I wanted to illustrate the point that their lives would be just the same if their son had never come back. It's kind of a dick move.
It was, but you know, that's his new MO. He's got to teach. He told Coulson was like, he's like, hey, he pretty much said, hey, you were a dick to them. And they just, you know, they're worried about losing their son. And he's like, I'm a teacher. I got to teach everyone a lesson. It's like, well, it's kind of a dick lesson to teach. The art fits this book very well.
Yes.
Because it's not a pleasant, happy book by any means.
No.
It is it's not dark like it's full of, it's not 1980s dark where it's nothing but violence and sex. It's a dark as in this is just a dark story. This is heavy themes. And he's not going to be fighting, you know, super villains to save the world from what we've seen.
He's not going to be fighting Maximus, for instance.
I don't think so. And if Maximus appeared in this book, he wouldn't be using robot armor. He would be stressing his intelligence. And he'd be talking a lot. And that would be the type of villain. Because they show Karnak when he had to fight. Because there were, I don't mean to say there were no action scenes in this. There were. You saw Karnak using his powers. You know, he went up to a big double steel door and, you know, he could see the weakness. So he fucking punched it and it exploded. And he basically tortured a guy by hitting. That was actually really funny. So they made the joke. The one joke in the book was about how every other fucking SHIELD agent is actually evil. And a SHIELD agent goes to shoot him and he disables him. His first move is he like explodes his liver by, you know, hitting the pressure point. And Coulson's like, you couldn't have hit him in the leg or something. You had to go right for the liver.
I've learned from your movies.
Yeah, he's like, okay, Karnak, you fucking dick. But SHIELD has no problem working with him. No, yeah. Karnak is he's a fuller character in this than he has been in the past when he was just, I'm the royal advisor.
Yeah, so you know, with all these Inhuman books and then especially with Karnak, they're fleshing out all these characters. So, it's a good story. For sure it's contender for Book of the Week. I really like it. Yeah. I knew I was gonna kinda like it cause it was, Ellis. But I didn't realize I was going to like it this much.
Well, your problem with Ellis is always that he takes a while to get going.
Yeah, but this was good out the gate though.
Yeah, as it goes on, you tend to like it more. But if you remember his Moon Knight, it was the same way. When Ellis is writing what basically amounts to a mainline book, he writes it more like a mainline book. Now this has a bit of an edge to it, but it is still a book with a superhero published by Marvel Comics. So he's going to come at it that way. He's not going to do a slow burn. He's going to get right into it. You know.
Okay. I still think, like I said, it's still a Marvel book, and it's, I think it's a mainline book, but it's got, like you said, an edge. And to me, that makes it different.
Yeah, and they're doing all these relaunches, and a lot of them are just, you know, here's a superhero book. So They kind of do need stuff.
But it's also Karnak, so there isn't that big spotlight for him to write certain kind of stories. So he can get away with doing darker stuff or different stuff than what they usually do.
But Marvel is pushing the Inhumans incredibly hard and much harder than, from what I can see online, anyone wants.
Well, if you go on SHIELD, the last two seasons of SHIELD has all been Inhuman-centered.
Yeah, and comic fans are not happy about all this Inhuman stuff.
I like the meme that's popped up since someone says, Marvel, stop trying to make Inhumans a thing.
Yeah, it by the way, as a side note on the funny movie news, they switched the head of the movie studio.
No.
You read about this?
No, this is news to me.
I forget what the guy's name was, but they switched him out for somebody else. And the guy that they moved out was the guy who was pushing for an Inhumans movie. So there is now a rumor that the Inhumans movie will be taken off the list.
I still Marvel want it down the road. Okay, where it was positioned was fine. It was positioned way down the road, and I'm cool with that.
Do the Deadman's Run. Do it as a movie.
What's that? I didn't hear that. You cut out for a little bit.
Huh?
You cut out for a little bit. Say that, what you just said again.
Oh, I just said do the Jenkins Run as a movie. Found your solution.
Yeah, but the thing is that I don't see that having a big mainstream appeal.
That's the thing though. Their movies don't all need to have mainstream appeal. You need variety.
No, and I agree with you, but I'm just saying Marvel wants money, and to me, I don't see that appealing to a large base of people.
If it gets wide critical approval and it has the Marvel name, it will make money.
Okay. I don't see with that Jenkins run a for instance a toy line, or they make an Inhumans cartoon.
Everything doesn't need a toy line. They did a cartoon based off it. They did one of those motion comics.
Oh, and I loved it.
In fact, it's the only Inhuman thing that has merch.
In fact, to this day, I still haven't read the Jenkins run. I just watched that.
Well, from what I've read, it's exactly the same.
It's verbatim the exact same writing, and it's the exact same art.
Well, by the way, problems mounting for season 3. Apparently, the viewership is down.
Good.
I do a comic book podcast that largely focuses on Marvel, and I have only watched one episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I've seen two.
Yeah, so I heard it got better, and I'm like, oh, I should watch that. I'm going to wait until it's on Netflix. And then they put season 2. I think they put season 2 on Netflix, and I'm like, eh.
I know what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for that Jessica Jones to drop so I can watch Flash. Because I've heard but good things about Flash.
Wait, why do you have to wait for Jessica Jones?
Because I'm not... I
don't watch Flash now.
Because I don't care. Yeah. But I don't we've talked about this off air. It's like, yeah, we have. Where I don't care. It doesn't matter if I have all the money in the world. To me, just Netflix is like, I don't care enough to buy
that. Yeah, you're... God. I want to watch Flash because, like you said, everybody's putting it over and Gorilla Grodd.
And just so we can put a cap on this, like, I can sort of see why they don't want to tie into the movies in the sense they're doing all this wacky stuff. That'd be sort of hard to tie into what they're going to do in the movies down the line.
I don't think the TV shows and the movies should tie in at all.
But from DC?
From any of them. From DC or Marvel.
Apparently the Krypton TV show is going to tie into Man of Steel.
How? It takes place like in the past.
I don't know. Somehow it's related. I don't know how.
Great.
That's what they claim.
Okay, let's move on to our next book, Real World number 5, writer Jason Aaron, art by Mike Del Mundo.
This is the thing where you said that it spoiled stuff.
Yeah, they showed Battle World breaking up, and they revealed that Weird World would still exist because it is in the Bermuda Triangle.
Yes.
Or you get to it via the Bermuda Triangle.
Or the Savage World. I think Marvel brought that up to me earlier too.
Well, it's he said it was like the Savage World, but I think maybe, okay, Earth is still set up. Doom said this in Iron Man. Earth still has dimensional portals popping up all over the goddamn place, which is magical objects dropping out.
Mm-hmm.
The nexus of all realities is in the fucking Everglades. It still is, as far as we know. The Bermuda Triangle could just be where a portal to Weird World is.
Yeah.
Okay, and that makes sense how they're going to tie it with Timely and X-Men 92. Okay.
Yeah, and they could theoretically, like, you know, they could have guest stars in Weird World because they end up there on accident or whatever if they wanted to do it.
Well, I know Black Knight end up there.
Yeah, and this by the way, was, like, this guy in this book was always Conan. But he was so much more Conan in this. Like, he even talked about, like, murdering his enemies and hearing the lamentations of their women.
Really? Because he hasn't once said Orle or Riva de Laza.
No.
He hasn't once said Boom.
No, I'm talking about the real Conan.
Oh, okay.
Not Conan El Barbario. Conan from the Barrio. I'm talking about Conan the Destroyer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But yeah, he was pretty much just Conan in this book. He won, by the way.
Yes.
Although it didn't matter because then Battle World blew up.
I like that we had a payoff because remember that one issue where, I even forget the guy's name. I'm just going to call him Conan. He helped that one.
Archon is his name.
Archon. He helped that one guy, help that one, Crystal Warrior. Yeah. And then when he saw he was just a bag of crystals, he's like, this MF-er, you just had me go through all this just to save this bag of glass. But then, we got some payoff because it reformed this, what was it? It's like a It's like the a prince. Crystal Knight, right?
Oh, it was the Crystal Prince or the Crystal King.
Yeah. He mentioned him when he was. Because remember, he thought he was crazy. He's like, "Oh, the king or the prince is right here in this bag, and you know he's gonna bring you know victory to us all." And he was like, "This guy's crazy."
And then he gave him that map, and the map was like a 5-year-old's map.
It's like a hand drawn thing. Like,
yeah, literally. But he tried to explain, like, you know, well, weird world stuff moves around. So it's, but when the guy showed up, he's like, "Hey, did that map, the map, it helped you get here, right?" So it's all good. But yeah, the Swamp Witch and the Crystal King had brought all the, separate tribes of Weird World together to get Morgan Le Fay. Yeah.
But it was one of those instances where it seemed like they were on the verge of victory and then Battle World exploded, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
They were definitely about to win, although Polmacus had been largely destroyed.
Yeah, and it was on the other side of the planet, or the world.
Yeah, right? It wasn't actually in Weird World.
Okay. See, now here's the thing I have going forward. I like this series, but that's because it was written by Aaron.
Going forward, Sam Humphries is writing it.
And Humphries can be hot or cold with me. And even then, he's not that hot. Like, he's just... Well, okay, it was a good book. Like,
we'll do with everything. We'll try it.
Yeah, because Star-Lord's fun.
Yeah, but there's also more than one Weird World book, because Black Knight takes place in Weird World.
And we'll try it. We always try number one.
Yeah, but that's not being written by Humphries, though.
I know.
Yeah, so maybe it'll be better.
Poor Humphries. Well, he's deserved it, though, so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, write better comics, dude. You're a capable writer, but you haven't been much more than that.
He's lazy.
No, he's not lazy. He's just not all writers are created equal.
I don't know. I've seen him write, you know.
And everybody's good, dude.
I've seen him write a lot of good stories, so I'm just saying.
And I've read much worse. Rob Liefeld.
All right. Let's move on to our next book. Ivar Timewalker, number 10, writer Fred Van Lent, let's see if I can pronounce this right. Lenti?
Fred Van Lenti. This was awesome.
Art by Perez.
I like this book.
Ivar is back in time. He's in a cell waiting to go in the gladiatorial pits of the ruling dinosaur Roman Empire.
And he's like one of the few, because they attack all the mammals, apparently.
And what's her name? Neela?
Yeah.
Neela is still in her I'm future and evil getup. And she goes to meet with him, and she's pretending she's the evil one because the head dinosaur has a deal with her. But then the real evil her shows up for the meeting, and Ivar ends up having to fight anyway. Ivar does win. It was a fucking book about Ivar fighting dinosaur people. And then the reason she was there was because the meteor that struck and apparently killed all these dinosaurs and wiped them from existence. Although, if this is the actual history of the Valiant Universe, I question how people just so happened to form the exact same culture.
With the same names. Like, literally, the emperor was named Caesar.
Yeah, like, that's a little weird, but
Remember, they broke time. They're in different dimensions now.
Oh, okay. Well, she was there to get the meteorite that hit and killed the dinosaur Romans.
Remember, this isn't what supposedly actually happened. This is just a different dimension. Because remember when and everything's different now.
You're right. That's fine then. Oh, I wish they did a book with fucking dinosaur people in modern day. Although I guess that would be like the Super Mario Brothers movie, wouldn't it?
No, but this would be good though.
Well, yeah, but good. Fred Van Lente should write the Super Mario Brothers movie. And do another one.
Planet where apes evolved from men.
Yeah. But, you know, men evolved from dinosaurs. Except Yoshi. He was still a dinosaur for some reason.
I know.
It was a weird movie. What happened at the end of this?
Oh,
we started talking Mario movie. I got sidetracked.
Yeah, the meteor was approaching.
That meteor was coming.
Yeah.
Cool. Right.
Yep. It was a fun issue.
Yes, very much so. All right, let's move on to our next Valiant book, Book of Death, Fall of Exo Manowar, number 1, writer Robert Venditti, art by Clayton Henry.
This was completely different from all the other Book of Death books.
Yeah.
All the other Book of Death books were kind of depressing.
Yeah, but yeah, bummers, to be honest.
Yeah, they were like really down stories about these horrible deaths that people had. Exo Manowar died in the as a hero with his Visigoth Empire rebuilt in Western Kansas.
No, it was in Nebraska, dude.
Or I thought it was Kansas.
Oh, Nebraska.
Okay, well, there's nothing in Western Nebraska. Wait. Hang on. Omaha is in Western Nebraska.
And?
Well, it could have, well, that's the only city in Nebraska, but I, you know, okay, it could have been in one of the open parts, which is 99% of Nebraska. It's a horrible flat place. No offense, Nebraska listeners. Your state's very boring and I'm from Iowa for fuck's sake.
I'm sure they'd agree.
No, but he's there with his wife who loves him. He's there with his daughter who's hot and, loves her dad very much and been trained by her dad to, take over the Exo Manowar suit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there would always be an Exo Manowar. But the aliens who originally had kidnapped Exo Manowar came back.
Trill. Trill, his former kidnapper, who ended up kind of like respecting him. I guess they
worshipped him.
Yeah, they feel guilty because, you know, of what had happened in the past, and they feel that the daughter is not the daughter's a false heir.
Well, his actual death was in the past. The present was the framing device was a dad taking his son to the museum, the Exo Manowar Museum, to see him where it was built over where he was buried and where his dad was buried. And he's telling him the whole story. And, Trill comes in. He's horribly upset by this, that they're charging admission and letting people take photographs of his death. He's like, I'm going to take the fucking body. And then, you know, we'll bring him to our planet where he'll be worshipped as he should be. And anyone can go in as long as they worship him. We're going to fucking charge money for this shit, you bastards. He kind of had a point.
but he was going about it wrong. So that's why they made him the villain.
Yeah, but they largely turned Exo Manowar into a sideshow attraction. It was a respectful one.
No, they explained. But they explained why they built that museum. They gave an explanation because he was pissed off, but the daughter mentioned some. I can't remember what the explanation was.
Well, there was history behind the place. Like, it was where when he came back, he had landed there and he cut in his family's sigil into the ground, into the grass, and the grass never regrew. And, you know, like I said, his dad was buried there and he wanted to be buried by his dad. They didn't actually explain why they built a museum on top of it. They explained why he would be buried there and why his dad was buried there. Although anyway,
he wasn't buried there apparently.
He was. Yeah. So, well, Trill came in and he opened up the coffin. Didn't give a shit about his dad's coffin, but he opened up Exo Manowar's coffin and he wasn't in there. They did not have a big fight. There was a fight. The new Exo Manowar, his daughter did fight them, but then she talked to Trill and she basically told him, listen, my dad forgave you. You know, it sucks that you took him away for hundreds of years and you enslaved him, but without you, he never would have gotten the armor. If he never had the armor, he couldn't have done all the good he did. He couldn't have rebuilt the empire. You know, everything good he did was because of what you did to him. So he forgives you. And then since they worship him, the fact that he credited all this basically to Trill made Trill say, okay, I'll leave. That's good. And then the issue ended. There was no sadness in this.
No, it was a very it's a nice uplifting ending.
Yeah, I mean, he died, but he died happy.
Yeah, he died like a
daughter, the last thing she told him is like, listen, you've trained me since I was a kid to do this. I know what to do.
He died at 90 years old as, you know, emperor of his kingdom.
Loved by everyone.
Yes, with his daughter and wife who we loved very much, so.
Yeah. It was a very nice story.
He went on top, is what you're saying.
Yeah, this was one of the, and I've read the other, The Fall of Whatever books, like we've read all these, and I read a lot of the Marvel The End comics. Mm-hmm. This is the nicest end of a superhero comic I think I've ever read.
You may be just, right.
Everything worked out great.
Which is sad, which is, you know, kind of a bit of a commentary on the, I guess, the state of comic books, but whatever.
They like to have depressing stuff.
Well, because if everything works out, there's no conflict.
So, I mean, some of the DC heroes, you know, the legacy heroes, they had, well, none of them had good deaths, but they at least had good retirements.
Okay.
That's something.
All right. And because my laptop just died, but I'm going to have to just go this from memory. I don't have the writer or artist in front of me. What if Guardians of the Galaxy, something having to do with Infinity?
What if something Thanos? I can't remember.
If the Guardians knew that the Illuminati were keeping Thanos captive.
Yeah.
And well, what they would do is Rocket Raccoon would steal Iron Man's armor.
Yeah, this is told from Rocket's perspective, by the way.
Yeah, Rocket actually had some funny lines. There was also a funny thing of, okay, apparently what he did was he bugged Iron Man's armor when Iron Man was with him, because why not? And Drax, him, and maybe Gamora were like sitting on their spaceship watching Earth, like watching Tony Vision.
Yeah.
Because that's just what they do, and like, you know, Drax finds this very entertaining. Until they walked in front of Thanos and they realized, oh shit, Thanos is alive. So they have to go to Earth to kill Thanos.
Oh, this is the part that was stupid. They saw that he was captive, and they even brought up the fact that, you know, Thanos was no threat to any of them. And so they felt the need to break him out of his cell, or his, it was there when he was in Amber, and kill him. Which is not easy to do.
Drax was made to kill Thanos. That's what he was made to do. All he wants to do is kill Thanos. He doesn't want Thanos trapped so he's safe. And also, you can never trust that he would actually be in there forever. Because, by the way, he did get out.
No, he didn't get out. He was let out.
Right, but somebody let him out.
You know, it's
funny.
That's
the thing. It's fucking Earth. Earth is fucked. They know that. They brought that up. And this, by the way, the end of this set up what would be a better plot
for
Guardians of the Galaxy than what we actually are getting in Guardians of the Galaxy.
You know, it was funny with that part where he's like, he tells a story, he's like, yeah, and then we kill, you know, and then that was it for him. It's like, wait a minute, you're going to tell us his whole story and not tell us how you killed him?
They killed him.
And my favorite part was where Star-Lord, he's lecturing Captain America. He's like, look, from now on, you guys aren't allowed to leave Earth. Because all you do is cause trouble. So from now on, if you guys try to leave your planet, we're going to be here, and we're going to be here to put a whooping on you.
Except we're going to, if you send a ship into outer space, we're going to shoot it down. And Captain Marvel's like, can they do that?
And then Captain America's like, he's got a point there, though.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, he's kind of right. And then it ended. Which, it ended because, yes, that's a very funny thing. But it is true. And I think if the Guardians of the Galaxy were set with guarding the galaxy against Earth fucking everything up, that would be a hilarious comic. And they should do it, and it's true. Well, they did show that it wasn't just the Guardians who killed Thanos. They brought in fucking the Brood, they brought in Annihilus, they brought every fucking alien you could imagine was there, like all the big heavy hitters to go kill Thanos. Because nobody wants him to live in fucking Amber.
In Amber. I like how we still joking.
Yeah, and he gets
that.
They referred to it as Amber once. In one of the books, they said, oh, yeah, Thanos is trapped in the Amber.
You think, Eternal Amber. Come up with a better, analogy.
Well, it was eternal death, although it was very funny because when Thanos and Proxima Midnight get out, Thanos is just like, aha, it's good to no longer be encased in eternal death. But he was showing no real effects from this, like he was fine. They didn't even seem particularly bothered. Like, he had a conversation with Star-Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, how are you gonna kill me? And then it's like, oh, you've got a army of pissed off superpowered aliens here, okay?
It certainly was wacky.
Yeah, it was fun.
Alright, I think with that all the way, let's go into Book of the Week. And if it ever wants to play. Oh, wait, I muted that. 1 second! Technical difficulties. Here we go. Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of the team. Everything is awesome when you live in our dream.
The great feeling all time I had all my life.
Guys?
I'm going to be safe and just pick Karnak.
I'm going to pick Karnak too, but I really, really, really liked Clean Room.
Okay, and I really like Karnak, but I'm gonna be different, and I'm gonna go, I'm gonna be so bold to pick something else. I'm gonna go with, Tokyo Ghost.
That was good.
Ooh.
Liked it.
Oh. That was different.
So, even though we all sort of, you know, gravitated towards Karnak, we, you know, I picked something else. Alright, let's move on to our final segment, next week's books. Okay, hopefully with that musical interlude, you guys pulled up Comic List.
I actually have to pull it up on my phone because Lauren's using the computer, so I will have it up in a second.
Alrighty. Marvel, do you have Comic List in front of you? My laptop crashed.
I got the list.
Okay, thank you. Is that one of the drops? A lot of these drops that you play, I have no idea what they're saying, Marvel.
This one said, where's the list?
Oh, okay.
Okay, I got it.
The thing is, sometimes you guys talk over it, so it's like hard to hear something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got it too. Let's see. Sesame Street, Another Sunny Day.
Is that a comic list, or is that what Jack is watching?
No, that's on Comic List. We're not going to read that.
Is it a number one?
It was yes, but I'm not going to read Sesame Street comic. I don't even know if Jack likes Sesame Street anymore.
How many books have we read? How many stupid books have we read?
Oh, he likes Sesame Street. A lot of times we say we're going to read it and then we don't.
Like last week you sort of pitched the idea of reading Godzilla Goes to Hell, and then I want to ask you if you read it.
That was because it was issue 4, and I have to start a book with as much plot as Godzilla Goes to Heck. Why is the
snow? Does anyone really want to read Sesame Street?
No.
Okay.
Okay, are we still reading Fight Club, or did I drop that?
Dropped it.
Well, Marvel, you never read it, so I want to read it.
Okay, well, you can lightning round, because I didn't like it.
Okay, I won't put it on the list then.
Okay, we've got, another Vertigo book, Art Ops number 1. That's the one where the characters from paintings escape, and they have to catch them.
Yeah! Isn't
that
the one
could
with
be
all,
very good.
Isn't that the art with Allred?
No, they want to catch them.
They do want to catch them. Hang on, I'm bringing it up.
I believe it's Allred.
Or Sesame Street one.
See?
Michael Allred. He's a very good artist, Jack. We also have All-Star Section 8, number 5.
Well,
that's wrapping up.
Let's see what that's on.
Jack's
gonna be here for the rest of the show.
Jack's going into business for himself.
We got Justice 3001 number 5.
Yes, we have Prez number 5. That's a lot of DC books, people.
Awesome.
Okay,
I know.
I'm gonna drop now.
We'll get yelled at less. Let's see.
Ask Jack if he wants to do a review of that Sesame Street book.
Jack.
Sesame Street.
Do you want to review a Sesame Street comic on the show next week?
Yeah.
He said yes.
I'll hold him to it.
All right, you're going to be on the show next week. Oh, he's so hyped about that.
See?
Record him separately. We'll just edit in.
Yeah. Image has a new comic. What is this?
Magic, huh?
It's Magic is spelled wrong. Oh, it's Rocco. We're reading that.
Oh, what? Yep.
Black Magic number 1 by Greg Rucka. We have to read it. I didn't even read what it's about. It's like a paranormal investigator or something.
Okay, the Jack interaction was cute, but no, you might want to go outside for the rest of the show. We're almost done anyway.
We're almost done. Angela, Queen of Hell.
Angela, Queen of Hell. Now is this Hell, H-E-double hockey sticks?
H-E-L. The new plot of Angela is she goes to Hell to rescue her boyfriend, girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Who is in Hell, and she takes over from Hella. Captain America, Sam Wilson, number 2, Fox News' favorite comic.
Chewbacca, number 2.
Chewbacca, number 2. Yes, please.
Yes to Chewbacca?
No, my wife, we have, when she's at work, there's remaindered, when she does mini bar, they have to switch out the little bottles of liquor.
What?
And they just throw them away, so she brings them home. And there was a little bottle of Bacardi, and I drink Bacardi Coke.
Okay, let's plow through these titles very quick, because I get the feeling...
Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D.
What is that?
Oh, are we reading... Oh, we forgot about House of M, number 4. I think that's the last issue. Remember
I didn't say that? Okay, House of M, number 4.
Yeah.
Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D. Kanan, number 7. I am willing to read New Avengers, number 2.
I'll read it.
Yeah.
Is a Marvel handbook.
Doesn't matter.
I'll read it, but I'm not going to do a review.
Secret Wars official handbook of the Marvel multiverse.
Oh, that let me check this out. That might actually be different.
Yeah, let's put that on, although we won't really review it. We'll just talk about it. Spider-Man 2099.
We can find out if the child died.
Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. We've already read that, and we stopped reading it because there was nothing to review.
But it's a new number one, isn't it? You want to give it another try?
Yeah,
or no?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Where Monsters Dwell, number 5 of 5.
Oh, we never finished that.
$3.99.
No, we didn't.
The wheels are falling off the show.
What?
Big release, Book of Death, number 4 of 4.
Awesome.
Hey.
Awesome. You're going to review next week, bud.
You're going to be internet famous.
Internet famous.
I think that's it, right? That's all the books.
What's that kid that your kid watches on YouTube?
He doesn't watch Evan much anymore. Now he's into Diamond... What's his name?
Diamond Minecart.
Diamond Minecart. Yeah, we don't like... For everyone to hear, the FGTV guy, I actually want to strangle that guy by his own genitals. I hate him so much. I don't care if he's on YouTube. People on YouTube aren't really famous, bud. Does he have a toy in Walmart? No, like the other YouTube heroes. Is he PewDiePie? No, so he's not famous.
Is that the standard bearer for fame if they're not PewDiePie?
He is the richest person on YouTube.
Yeah, this is true.
So PewDiePie would be, although Evan is worth quite a bit.
And
you still like Evan? Okay. I like Evan. He's okay.
Okay, so is that going to do it for the next week's comics?
Yeah, that was everything. That was quite a few books.
Yeah.
How many books was it?
Let's see. Let me count this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. 17!
Oh.
Part of the
that
course.
Was like this week.
Yeah. Nice light week. We're running close to 2 hours, so that's probably what we're going to wind up doing next week.
There's going to be another Vertigo book coming out maybe next week. They're releasing them like one a week, and it's, I don't remember the plot, but it's a Peter Milligan book, so it's either going to be really, really good or really weird or both. Because that's how he writes. I'm just warning you. I'm going to make us read it.
Okay. I think Jack's going into too much into business for himself here. So let's try to wrap this show up. All right. So from all of us at halfguard.com, thanks for checking out the show. And as always, see you guys next week. Adios.
Wait.